Welcome, and thank you for standing by. All lines will be open for today's call. Please mute your phone when not speaking. If you do not have a mute button, you may mute and unmute your phone by pressing star six. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now I will turn the meeting over to Sarah Molnar.
Hello. I'd like to welcome you to our Tivoli Talk today on Network Administration, Usage, and Accounting with Flow Analysis. Today's speakers will be Richard Gleason and George Hunter. And again, the call is open, so if you have any questions, feel free to ask throughout. And Richard, I'll hand it over to you.
Okay, thank you very much. Well, in today's session, I'm going to introduce the basics of DMPFA and show how it can be attached to your cloud, dynamic infrastructure, and IT asset management sales engagements. I'm going to talk about the pain and the solution that DMPFA provides. I'm going to talk about the opportunity that's there to be addressed, who to target, what to say to prospects, and provide you some case studies and some objection handling. So if you'd like to jump onto slide three. So what is DMPFA? DMPFA is the long name of Tivoli Netcore Performance Flow Analyzer. It's a tool that stores and analyzes IP flow record information. DMPFA collects IP flow records from routers and switches and turns it into meaningful information that can be used to manage, build, and secure the network. So what does that information tell me and tell the customer? Well, DMPFA tells us with the flow information how much network bandwidth is being used, who's using that bandwidth, for what, and how it's being routed. Now, in terms of what you hear clients talk about, most of your clients will refer to this type of product as a NetFlow product. This is based off of Cisco, who was the first company to add IP flow record reporting capabilities to its routers. There are other keywords that you need to listen out to, as well as NetFlow. There are standard formats such as IPFix, and there are other vendor flow formats such as Juniper's S-Flow, C-Flow-D, and Huawei's NetStream. Most of the time, though, you will hear clients talk about it as NetFlow analysis. If you'd like to jump onto slide four. So DMPFA has multiple customer usage scenarios with different users and different buyers. So in many respects, it's quite a unique Tivoli product. Because unlike most products, it's theoretically possible to make multiple sales within an account to different audiences. If you jump to on slide five then, the first audience that we're going to talk about is the usage and counting folks. And this is where DMPFA was used, deployed for bandwidth usage monitoring and billing. Essentially, DMPFA collects the IP flow records and provides traffic metering, and that information can then be used to bill for network usage and accounting elsewhere. Typically, in this kind of scenario, the flow data is collected on the boundary switches and routers, so that you'd see something like the amount of data flowing into a data center to a particular server, or you'd see data from a VPN or MPLS circuit going into a particular interconnect. And using this flow data then, you can generate metering information, how much traffic passed through, so that you can bill. And your typical buyers and users in this kind of scenario are people like your billing architects, your product managers and offering managers who are responsible for, let's say, your data center hosting and the network and the services involved with those. If you jump onto the next slide now, another audience for this type of product is the security community. Now, in this scenario, the product is deployed for inside the firewall security threat analysis. So flow will be enabled on key routers and switches within the network, and the information will be used to detect things like botnet attacks, intrusions, unusual employee behavior, unusual communication between servers. So we will be looking for threats within the network based off of unusual traffic patterns. And the users and buyers in this scenario would be people like the security analysts, the security operations folks. I'd like to jump on the next slide, talk about network management. So in this scenario, flow data is analyzed for things like usage analysis, traffic composition analysis, capacity planning, trending, and route analytics. The flow information gives an awful lot of data in what's using the network, to what level the network is utilized or not. And so in this scenario, you enable flow from a lot more routers, and the users and buyers would be the operations managers who would be looking for faults in the network, and the network engineers who would be working on network dimensioning and engineering. The last scenario I'm going to talk about here is for application management. Now, this is pretty similar to the network management, and the data would be used to discover interdependencies between servers, virtual machines, and would be used as a second step in performing application diagnostics. So if you see that you have a multi-component application, let's say between a web server and a database, if you saw that there were slow response times, you might look into the data that TNPFA provides to see whether you're having network problems between the application components. Now, in this case, the buyers of this will probably still be the network managers, and the people who are managing and diagnosing applications will be secondary users. So I don't really highlight this as a separate audience, because it's still the buyers, the main purchasers are going to be the network engineers. Now, if you'd like to jump onto slide 9, so TNPFA can be used for all those scenarios and submarkets, and we certainly don't want you to exclude any of those things. The focus in Q2 of our enablement and marketing effort and this presentation is on the usage and accounting scenario. And the reason for that is that can be tightly linked to the cloud opportunity. So this is aligned with the key marketing messages that IBM is involved with around DI and cloud. Dynamic infrastructure and cloud is a growth sector, and there's many of leads being generated on the back of that, many sales opportunities. Another is this product was designed originally out of Zurich Labs for the usage and accounting scenario, and in fact is already deployed in a number of internal IBM e-business data centers where the network resource is being built using being metered using TNPFA and is driving billing. And for that fact, the product readiness for this scenario is green. It's absolutely best in class for usage and accounting, and no competitor comes close in terms of scalability, things like that, so there's no competitive gaps. Now, regarding the other markets, in Q3, we will produce repeat presentations that coincide with network management enhancements that we'll be releasing. And later on this year, we'll also be doing a repeat presentation and focus on security. We're doing some exciting things with our colleagues in ISS, and we'll be doing a security-based release, and we'll be doing some enablement and marketing surrounding that. So this presentation is focused on usage and accounting and cloud. If you'd like to jump to slide 10, then we've just got a slide that shows how the cloud market is increasing. From 2008, it was a $47 billion market, and that's expected to grow to $126 billion in 2012. There's good annual growth rate expected on both infrastructure and components, by with 40% and 23% respectively. So this is a strong market, and with IBM Tivoli's broader marketing machine on dynamic infrastructure and cloud, there's a lot of opportunity being generated. Now, if you'd like to jump to slide 11, just talk briefly about why and how TNPFA is related to cloud. So there are certain characteristics that define cloud services. These characteristics are things such as on-demand self-service, ubiquitous network access, service usage billing, resource pooling, and standardized offering. The cloud is really modeled on internet services. And TNPFA has a role in this, in the service usage and billing. Metering resource usage is essential, whether we're talking about public cloud, where service usage must be metered and billed directly, or a private cloud, where resources have to be tracked so that you can account back to the internal business units or departments that are using the resources. So even if you're not directly billing and you're using this for accounting, it helps to improve business profitability, accountability, and better plan for future investments. Now, if you'd like to jump on to slide 12. So many of you are probably already familiar with Tivoli Usage and Accounting Manager and might be wondering then how TNPFA fits with that. Well, the main message here is TUM and TNPFA are complementary, they're not competitive. DUM provides a broad set of usage and accounting tools and policies, so it collects usage information from a wide variety of IT resources, including things like servers, databases, storage, virtualized systems. So there's a wide range of usage information that TUM collects. TUM also costs this and allocates it to the various departments, products, or services that are actually consuming it. It then provides usage reports, invoicing, and chargeback capabilities. Now, this is actually very different to what TMPFA provides. TMPFA, in the usage and accounting scenario that we're focusing on in this presentation, is completely focused on network resource usage. So it's collecting from all the routers and the switches. It's collecting IP flow usage information. And it's been designed from this from the ground up. So it has ultra-high scalability. So whether we're talking about a large enterprise or a service provider, TMPFA has been benchmarked at 50,000 flows per second on a standard dual-core server. It provides high granularity traffic usage reports, and it also does things like 95 percentile usage calculation. And basically, that's a process for excluding the top 5% of bursty data in traffic usage. And it's quite typically used in traffic usage calculations. And it also provides a deep level of insight into traffic composition analysis. Now, this can be used for diagnostics, but it can also be used to share with the clients of things like cloud to see how their traffic is being consumed. So in summary then, TMPFA does something very specific. It focuses on collecting the vast amount of usage data that an IP network generates, and it collects and meters information so that it can drive other systems comparable to TUM, whether they're billing systems or they're other usage and accounting systems, so that those other systems can cost allocation and do things like invoicing and chargeback. So TMPFA provides feeds to systems like the TUM, but it's focused on traffic measurement. If you jump onto slide 13, then we've shown you one of our internal references. And TMPFA came out of the Zurich Research Labs. It was originally the Aurora product, which was built for doing usage accounting in the IBM internal e-business data centers. So this reference is for IBM's e-business data center in Markham, Canada. They use, obviously, this is a hosting model, and as part of that model, they offer network connectivity. And in the particular instance, in this instance in Markham, they have contractual agreements with the clients on pipes that are available to their hosted services. And TMPFA is used to monitor those pipes to ensure that the traffic isn't exceeded, that the burst levels aren't exceeded. And if the traffic level does exceed the contractual pipes, then alerts are raised to both the internal IBM account managers and the clients. So in this particular reference, in the Markham reference, it's used to monitor pipes and to raise alerts if those pipes are exceeded. In other e-business data centers, such as in Germany, TMPFA actually drives the billing system directly, and the consumers get billed for the bandwidth that they use rather than matching it to pipes. So there are other models here, but it's all to do with metering and measuring the traffic that's being consumed by the client to the e-business data center. I'll conclude on the next slide. Just another external example. Actually, in this case of the E-Trade that came in Q1, this is actually more of a network engineering scenario where they want to ensure that the links that they're making trading connections over have a high quality of service, and they want to ensure that if anything else starts using a high capacity, starts using traffic over those links that may cause a bad quality of service, that they get warnings ahead of time so they can take corrective action. Now, even though this was network engineering, one of the things that won this deal was the huge scalability of the product, since the product was designed for the billing system with a unique in-memory architecture. because it was able to scale in a way that none of our competitive systems were able to do. So that was one of the unique selling points here, and that really comes from the back of it being designed primarily as a billing system. So this is quite a new one. They've agreed to be a reference. We haven't got the reference details yet, but that will follow on shortly. So slide 15 then, how to get started. So what we'd like you to do is to leverage your strategic account engagements and dynamic infrastructure and cloud and to attach TMPFA to the conversation. We'd like you to find out how your DI engagement clients are addressing network resource usage and billing. So for public clouds, find out how they monitor the pipe that's going into cloud services. How are they charging back for that? How are they showing how the bandwidth is being consumed? For the private cloud, find out how they want to track and cost network usage back to the departments, business units, applications or services, how are using those. So raise the question with in these engagements, how they're approaching network service usage, how they're monitoring those things and charging for it. If you've got existing engagements for TSAM and CloudBurst, then, again, raise the question about how network usage is in the conversation. It ought to be fairly trivial to add TMPFA to the conversation, those engagements. If your customer already has a TUM competitor for IT chargeback, most of these things don't have a good network resource monitoring solution on that. It really requires a different kind of architecture to do IP flow billing. So ask them how they're approaching that. Remember that TMPFA was designed from the ground up for IP flow usage. We support very high flow rates on a very simple installation. Nothing really gets close to this at all. So for public cloud, speak to the people who associate with the offering, the product managers, the service office offering managers, the billing architects. For the private cloud, speak to the IT managers and network engineers. On slide 16 then, one of the target segments. So for this particular scenario for TMPFA, for the usage accounting scenario, target the public cloud service providers. So that'd be people like the data center hosting people, people like IBM or Computer Center in the UK, web hosting companies, people like GoDaddy or Hostalia, those kind of companies, and software as a service vendors. And ask them how they're monitoring for fair network usage, how they're monitoring either contractual pipes or how they're charging for the bandwidth consumed. The private cloud operators, this literally can be anyone now, since so many companies are looking at the private cloud model. This could be any industry or segment. But ask them how they're mapping network resource usage back to the department's business units, applications, or services that are consuming those things. And lastly, for the communication service providers. So this is cloud in terms of people that are offering cloud network services, things like, such as Ethernet, MPLS interconnects, or broadband. And ask them how they're monitoring and charging for network resource usage. Or also, if they're able to provide or they have a desire to provide clients with reports on the bandwidth they're consuming. An example we were involved with on the edges in the last couple of weeks with Star Communications in the UK, and they offer a range of business interconnect services such as broadband and MPLS. And in that situation, they were actually providing billing elsewhere, but their customers were asking them for reports on what was actually consuming their bandwidth. Now, in that situation, the customers themselves could have deployed a product like TMPFA to find out how their traffic was being consumed, by which users, by which applications. But in this situation, Star Communications are evaluating deploying TMPFA and using TMPFA to provide these reports as a value-added service. So the clients that license interconnect from Star can be given a weekly, daily, monthly report on traffic usage and what's actually using and consuming that traffic, whether it's employees going to YouTube or whether it's critical services, those kind of things. So it's a value-added report to those kind of clients. Now, on slide 17 then...
Hey, Richard.
Yeah, sure.
Before you go to the next slide, I did just want to you know, open it up for anybody that has a question to this point. And I did want to make a comment before that is that I think that, you know, the areas that you spoke about that are our target segments, you know, you're going to find a lot of, you know, some of these small MSPs as that are service providers that you're going to want to target for this product. That's where we've seen a lot of the, you know, new opportunities just recently, as Richard had explained. But anybody that's operating as a service provider or a hosting facility or, you know, providing network services to clients, you know, these companies are big and small, you know, that is an excellent target for this specific usage case. But why don't I just go ahead and open it up and see if anybody has any clarification questions or, you know, any scenarios that they are having right now that they think this might play into. I believe your lines are open, so you just have to turn your phone off mute if you want to ask a question. Don't be shy. We're just a small group here anyway. Okay. Well, Richard, why don't you go ahead on to slide 17, I believe.
Yeah, that's right. So this is a quick snapshot of our competitive information. So as you look down the left there on TMPF, you do see that we do have some competitive gaps. These competitive gaps affect more in the network management and security scenarios, and we'll be addressing most of these later on in the year. That will make us competitive across more of the different scenarios that I started off with the start of the presentation, such as network management and security. I guess the point I wanted to make with this slide is for usage and accounting and for these cloud opportunities, TNPFA is best in class right now. It was designed for this purpose, and we've had, when customers get to see this, how quickly it gets installed, how quickly it gets up and running, how quickly it generates reports, it's a big win. We had a... It's very easy to demonstrate the value of this and things like the proof of technology concepts that are run in Hursley. If you jump onto the next slide then, it's a simple yet compelling value proposition for the usage and counting scenario. Sell with confidence in that. TMPFA was built for this. It's used in IBM e-business data centers. I think it's got something like 10 deployments from the original Aurora product. Usage and counting. It does things that in this space that the competitive systems just simply can't do. So I ask you to make sure that you add TMPFA to your cloud and dynamic infrastructure sales engagements. We've just created a number of client decks that will enable you, help you to talk about TMPFA within those contexts. We'll be posting links to those up with this deck. And that really is the end of my presentation. And really, just try and add a slide to any of your cloud and dynamic infrastructure engagements and try and get this into the conversation. George, have you got anything else you want to add?
I think that you did a good job of explaining this specific use case. Please just note, as Richard explained in the presentation, that there are other use cases for this, but we chose this one first because this is the use case that was used by the Zurich Labs, why the product was originally introduced, and that was an issue that we were having to try to understand how big of a data center to build for the next customer, and so we would monitor the flows of data in and out of the existing data center. And we would know that we would need a bigger or smaller server, larger or smaller pipes going into this data center based on this flow information. So this specific use case has a long history of success, and that's why we're bringing this one out first. However, the other use cases around security, network management, and application management certainly are not to be overlooked and will have further Tivoli talks specifically targeting those use cases as well. But I'd like to see if anybody has any questions at this time to, maybe they have an opportunity that they would like to share or further diagnose.
Well, I got a question. I mean, not every customer turns on the flows. It's an option for the network operations personnel, and it comes
right.
with some challenges, I guess. I don't know if it was security. I'm trying to remember offhand. So, the customer has to agree to turn on flow analysis. I mean, was there any kind of data in terms of us wanting to measure those flows, the risks versus the reward of actually just turning on flow analysis and then measuring it? Because that seems to be one of the drawbacks. Not everybody configures their routers to do to do flows, to turn on net flow or J flow or whatever they're using.
Is your concern about the impact that it has on the network itself, the flow records?
Richard, I believe the question is, and we've got
when we talk to network operations personnel, some of them just don't want to turn on, the flows. It's something that has to be configured, and apparently there's some drawbacks of actually doing that. So, and I'm not sure exactly what those are, but I guess the people we're talking to, they have to be convinced either that they're already turning on the flows, or do we got to convince them to actually?
No, you're absolutely right. There is a dependency here on the flows being turned on. And depending on the scenario, you turn on at different places. For the usage and accounting that we talked about at the start here, if you jump back to the slides 5, 6, and 7, I've kind of given a high-level view of where you'd turn on the flows from those things. So on the usage accounting, you'd only need it on your boundary routers, and that typically might be one or two, a main and a backup router that you turn those things on to measure what's going through into a data center or into your cloud hosting center. With security, you have the choice to turn it on in different places. If you wanted it in one scenario, you would only turn it on, like with usage accounting on the boundary one, sort of for intrusions and botnet attacks and things like that. But there are wider security scenarios where you turn it on more routers and from sniffing applications that sit on servers, so that you get a better view of inside the firewall security threats. And network engineering, you'd probably choose, you choose some key ones, but you probably would try not to enable it all around the network. You try to enable it in some key ones. So you try to be selective where you turn it on, I guess is the point that I'm making.
And also in regards to the licensing of the product, so hopefully that answered that question, and you are going to run into that. Two things. This came up in a presentation a couple months ago, and Matthew New had suggested that there is a very extensive document that Cisco publishes on, the cost and benefits associated with turning on NetFlow for the environment. And then I will send a link out to the rest of the group on that. As well, there is specific pricing in regards to this product where we only charge for the routers that are having flow being generated through them. So we do not need to charge for the entire environment, just the routers or devices that are wanting to gather flow.
Yeah, that's a good point. In some examples, we can also get flow from things which are not routers or switches. So, for example, with the ISS folks that we're working with at the minute, we're planning enhancements. Will they send us flow from their intrusion detection probes? So these are probes that sit in line on the IP circuits. They do deep packet inspection. They can also provide flow information to us. So that would be an example of getting flow from something that isn't a switch or router.
So are we charging for the routers that have flow? So we, kind of looking at a tiered device model based on the class of the device, or are we charging by the number of flows?
Go ahead. The way we charge is by a tiered class of device, where there's eight classes of devices, of which those with the bigger devices would have a higher charge than the smaller devices. So in an environment where all the flow is being consolidated through, let's say, one large router, we're able to just charge for that one large router and cover the whole environment. In some environments, that doesn't make sense. It makes sense to charge for the edge system and those maybe smaller routers, and in that environment, we would charge for the smaller. So the idea would be that it would come back to about the same cost, but a customer doesn't have to pay for both the edge and the consolidating router, just one or the other.
And now on the pricing, we quite recently did a repricing for TNPFA, where it's now competitive even with the very low end of the market. It's a very competitively priced product now.
So what things are we going to see out there? I know NetQoS is out there, but they do I think you mentioned something about deep packet inspection. I know that's one of the differentiators there, but what types of things do you think we'll run into as far as competition for this?
Well, in the usage and counting scenario, I don't think you'll have any problem because things become about scalability and performance and things like that. And for that scenario, I don't think you'll have any problem competing with that. I think you get more in the security. As it's shown on that diagram, we've got some gaps with things like Arbor Peak Flow, but we're working with ISS, and our next release is going to have a lot of exciting stuff, including our own DPI with the ISS folks. And a close integration with their portfolio to address security. So, there are some gaps now, but we've got some stuff coming to address that.
And in my experience, I've made several calls with representatives, and it's a situation where they're utilizing a freeware currently to do this analysis of the flow. And this is mostly in the Tier 2 service providers where they definitely see the need to move to a more standardized product versus the freeware tool that they're currently using. So I have seen that out in the market, and they generally saw the value of moving to a tool that would be keeping up to date with their configuration in a more standardized process.
Gentlemen, good morning. This is Phil Booker. I'm Tibley Rip out of Kansas City. I have a quick question. So I understand that this is probably geared mostly towards service providers, but I cover the large casinos in Vegas, and one of their concerns is they're not big fans of Inmark, and they would like to get some leverage back on them. And I see this as an opportunity to provide them a solution where they could measure the usage that they're getting from the service provider and then take that information back to their negotiations when their contract is coming up. Would you see that as a good fit here?
I think they'll measure their own usage. What are they trying to measure from their service provider, their throughput and things like that?
Correct, yeah. I mean, obviously, Inmark laid down a lot of pipe 5 years ago, and ever since then, the casinos took a big hit 2 years ago. So they're trying to find any kind of cost-saving measures, and they would like to get some leverage back on Embark. So I see this as them measuring their own usage and then taking that back to Embark. They believe they're being overcharged at this point they're guessing somewhere over 30%. And they'd like to go back and say, here's our actual usage. We want to, renegotiate the contract.
I think that would certainly be possible, yeah.
Okay.
I think it'd be useful.
And that's another point. You know, if you do have situations like this, so that certainly sounds like a great, you know, scenario for them. Very quick POC, and they would be able to, you know, determine that, you know, relatively quickly, and then, you know, continue to monitor it, you know, after they purchase the product. But in any of those situations, you know, we have a willing staff of people that would be able to help, you know, help you, you know, further diagnose that opportunity, talk with the customer, explain the benefits of the solution at any time.
And this solution pucks really well as well. I mean, it's going to be one of the fastest products to set up in Tivoli. I mean, I could literally, you know, unbundle, install it in three commands, and then the thing's up and running.
Yeah, we've seen it install in like 10 minutes and get like real value out of it in like less than an hour. It was amazing.
Right. Okay, are there any further questions? I know this is prime selling time now for a big chunk of the North America and the Northeast IoT, so I want to make sure that we don't take up too much of your time, but if there are any other questions, please you know, speak up.
Just, I guess, one other thing, I'm talking over somebody here, but I know this really helps. It also helps, you know, Cisco and Juniper for the most part. Have we done anything with them to kind of jointly promote the product or go in together with them to do things with them? Because, you know, turning on NetFlow and JFlow kind of is also a benefit to those providers. And in the case of, like, for example, Metro Ethernet is taking off. There's going to be, like, $20 billion in hardware spent year to year over the next few years for people building out Metro Ethernet. That's a lot of expense, and if we can even get, you know, half of 1%, you know, for operational support system software for that, that's pretty significant. So anything we're doing with those you know, network equipment providers to kind of jointly promote this?
So there is a conversation. We're really at the early phases of this, but there are conversations ongoing now. I mean, Cisco has expressed some interest in it. They do have something that's, you know, that's kind of equivalent, but isn't as effective in reporting and capacity and whatnot. So those conversations are still in the early stages, but yeah, they are starting.
And then as well, you brought up a good point. You know, we do now resell the Juniper network devices, or at least a subset of those, through an OEM agreement. And in that package, we're also speaking with our own internal folks to have this included as part of the management component of it.
Yeah, for example, Juniper does things for their customers. They call it JLearn, where they kind of educate their customers on, you know, their equipment. And one of the things in the JLearn sessions they actually did is they used to reference sell IntelliDent, which is a company we just acquired to do network change and config. So, you know, I'm not sure how that happened. I'm sure the IntelliDent folks set that up directly. You know, Juniper saw the value of that. But, you know, for performance flow analysis, if we can kind of get the same level of attention where they're actually kind of promoting it, I think it would help us get the customer's attention.
Great point. Thank you very much. Okay, so with that, I think we're going to close off the call. And, you know, if you think of anything after the fact, please email myself, George Hunter at grhunterus.ibm.com, and I will find the answer for you or answer myself. Any pricing questions, please feel free to give me a call, and I can walk you through this scenario. Average pricing of these products range from, you know, 25, you know, up to 200,000. Can get even larger than that with a, you know, a larger, more complex environment. But certainly a lot of ROI, a lot of value for your customer in this solution. That, thank you very much for your time. Please call if you have any opportunities. Glad to help. Thank you. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you.
Thank you for participating in today's conference. You may disconnect at this time.